The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Welcome in the name of Jesus. We continue our Christmas celebration. I know the rest of the world has put away Christmas. The trees are all by the curb. Decorations are put away, at least in most people's home. But the 12 days between Christmas and Epiphany, which we'll celebrate on Wednesday evening, the 12 days of Christmas. So here we are, the second Sunday after Christmas, and we get a large dose of reality, a part of the Christmas story that we don't often look at, what happens surrounding the visit of the wise men, the magi, and we're introduced to the personification of evil in King Herod. We pray that God would richly bless us as we hear His Word and receive His gifts today. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. Our opening hymn, number 385, From East to West. The last verse is a Trinitarian verse, so please stand on the last verse of that hymn. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 1. Setting 1, page 151 and following. Have a worship insert for the day. Readings are on one side, the propers are on the other. We'll sing the introit when we get to that spot. The two choices for the hymn of praise during this Christmas season, we'll sing the song of the angels, the Gloria. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. You'll notice we are vicarless today. I got a call late yesterday from Pastor Seymour, former vicar up in Beamer and Bancroft, who was really sick with the flu. And so Vicar's on a road trip today. And he made it to Cumming County. Hopefully he can find his way back when he's all done. So keep him in your prayers as well as Pastor Seymour as well. Before we sing our opening hymn, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we give You thanks for the blessings of this season. Family, friends, gifts, time away from the busyness and the hectic worlds that we have created for ourselves. Heavenly Father, today, open our eyes and our hearts to see that, yes, evil is real. That's why You teach us to pray every day, deliver us from evil. Heavenly Father, help us also to know that the reason why You sent Jesus to live, die, rise again, and to be with us is to overcome evil. Heavenly Father, may this be our confidence as we live our lives in a very evil world. Keep us from becoming weary or losing heart, but give us that confidence that comes from knowing Christ crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world. It's in His name that we gather, worship, and pray this day. Amen. Amen. Hymn 385.
Thank you. 151. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But
if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins unto God, our Father. Most
merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and end us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We turn to the words of the Introit. We chant them together as printed on your bulletin insert. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Almighty God, you have poured into our hearts the true light of your incarnate word. Grant that this light may shine forth in our lives. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament lesson for the second Sunday after Christmas comes from the 46th chapter of Genesis. So Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. And God spoke to Israel in visions of the night and said, "Jacob, Jacob." And he said, "Here am I." Then he said, "I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for there I will make you into a great nation. I myself will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also bring you up again, and Joseph's hand shall close your eyes." Then Jacob set out from Beersheba. The sons of Israel carried Jacob their father, their little ones, and their wives in the wagons that Pharaoh had sent to carry him. They also took their livestock and their goods, which they had gained in the land of Canaan, and came into Egypt. Joseph, Jacob, and all his offspring with him, his sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters. All his offspring he brought with him into Egypt. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We turn to the words of the gradual. We speak them together as printed on your bulletin insert.
Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory. You, O Lord, are our Father, our Redeemer,
epistle comes from the first letter of St. Peter, the fourth chapter. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when His glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or an evildoer, or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the Alleluia. According to St. Matthew, the second chapter. When the wise men had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose, and took the child and his mother by night, and departed to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious. And he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted, because they are no more. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled. He shall be called a Nazarene. This is the gospel of our Lord. May be seated for the hymn of the day, number 716, 716.
Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation. The Gospel reading from Matthew 2 that we heard just a moment ago. When the wise men had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, read the newspaper, you turn on the news, you listen to the radio, and as much as we would like to deny it, we live in an evil world. Evil is all around us. We don't like to call evil, evil. In fact, we bend over backwards so that we don't call a thing what it really is. But as we hear, read, and see accounts of radical terrorists killing Christians, how can we not call that evil? As we read and hear and see thousands upon thousands of unborn children murdered, dismembered, sold like an out-of-date Christmas present on eBay. How can we not call that evil? As we see greed and lust run rampant in our world and especially on the internet, how can we not call that evil? Martin Luther once said, "A theologian of glory does not call a thing what it is. A theologian of the cross calls a thing what it is." Well, my friends, today God's Word encourages us all to be theologians of the cross. How? By teaching us that evil is real. You know, there is perhaps no greater personification of evil that has ever existed in the entire world than King Herod. The King Herod right here in Matthew chapter 2. The children of Israel, this entire region, Palestine, was under Roman rule. And so they appointed Herod to be the king. And Herod had a long and terrifying and bloodthirsty rule. He ruled for nearly 4 decades. He did a lot of wonderful things. He rebuilt the temple. He encouraged people to worship, but at the same time, he built and rebuilt all kinds of heathen and pagan temples, put up idols all over the city. He was afraid. He was afraid people wouldn't like him. So, he wanted to hedge his bets. He wanted to try to cover all the bases with all the gods. Even though he himself was the king of the Jews. Herod was afraid. He was afraid of anyone who was a threat to his power. And so, anybody who was in direct line of ascendancy to be the king, conveniently found themselves dead. Any relative in direct line dead. When his wife and his sister were not properly excited at these political murders, his wife and his sister dead. Later on in his reign, when he had heard talk that the people were getting excited about a miracle-working king of the Jews who was foretold by the prophets, he naturally assumed that it was his son, Antipas. And so what did he do to his son? He had him publicly executed so the entire world would see. Some historians don't even record the slaughter of the innocents here in Matthew 2. You see, compared to all the evil things that Herod did, this wasn't that big of a deal. 20, 50, maybe 100 little babies killed. Compared to the way Herod lived and ruled, this was just a minor evil. Caesar Augustus once said, "You are safer if you are Herod's pig rather than being Herod's blood relative." Herod was really a weak man. And he was afraid of what he might lose. And so in his power, in his fear, he let evil take over his heart and take over his soul. The wise men came, king of the Jews. He saw this as a threat. Dispatch a few soldiers. All the boy babies in Bethlehem put to death. He did this evil without a second thought. God sent a terrible illness to try to call even evil King Herod to repentance. His body swelled. His sores oozed. The smell was horrific. The maggots were everywhere. And yet Herod's evil, mean, wicked, bloodthirsty reign continued. Physicians would come and attend to him. And if they didn't make him happy, dead. Finally, when the end was near, and he knew that he was going to die, Herod put down on paper his last will and testament. Every leading citizen, every dignitary, every noble would be brought together after his death and buried alive. Can you imagine a more evil person in the history of the world? And we have heard and seen and experienced a lot of them. So, what was Herod afraid of? He was afraid of losing something. He was afraid of losing his power. He was afraid that somehow this Christ, this Messiah, this Jesus, would cost him too much. And what did it cost him? It cost him his life. It cost him his soul. It cost him his salvation. My friends, Herod may be the personification of evil, But today's text is much more than a somber, gory history lesson. Evil is real. Evil is all around. Evil is not limited to or confined to King Herod. For many of us, just like Herod, Jesus Christ is a fearful thing. We're afraid, oftentimes, of losing something. Losing our power, losing our prestige, losing our finances, losing our time, losing our control. My friends, evil is not something far away. Evil is much closer to home. The roots of every sin, no matter how evil, no matter how despicable, are inside of each one of us. It's called sin. I, a poor, miserable sinner. We say those words. But let's be honest. We really don't think we're that bad. We really don't think we're that poor, that miserable, that big of a sinner. Because we can come up with all kinds of people, and we don't even have to know about Herod, that are worse than us. And so our sin, our evil, isn't that big of a thing. What are we afraid of losing with regard to Jesus? If we take Him at His word and take Him serious, well, we might lose our respect or our prestige or our honor, because let's face it, there's a lot of things in God's Word. There's a lot of things with regard to Christianity that in the world's eyes are downright silly, downright foolish. He who would be first must be last. Serve one another and not yourself. Come on. That's not how the world works. What are we afraid of losing? Our money, our stuff. You know, the world teaches us that you got to take care of number one. The world teaches us that our money, our work, our stuff has to come first. And God's Word says, love me. Serve one another. Give as I have freely given you. Oh, that's hard. That's hard to let go. What are we afraid of losing? Our pet sin? Our pet sin that brings us pleasure? Our pet sin that brings us a brief time of enjoyment. Our pet sin that we have to hide from others. My friends, when we look ourselves in the mirror, if we're honest, we see not King Herod, not Adolf Hitler, not Saddam Hussein or Pol Pot or any other great evil figure in history. We see ourselves in full glory. And with the hymn writer, we can sing, "Chief of sinners though I be." So, how do we live life in an evil world? How do we live life knowing that the roots of evil are alive and sometimes all too well inside of each one of us? Well, we look at our text and we might think that Jesus gives us a model that when we see evil, we should just run. We should take flight. We should skedaddle. After all, that's what Jesus, Joseph, and Mary did, right? They ran away from evil. They ran away all the way to Egypt. And they hid. And when there was more evil there, they ended up in Nazareth. They ran from it. They hid from it. They secluded themselves, right? Wrong. My friends, Jesus came into this evil world to conquer evil. It is evil, our evil, that would ultimately kill Jesus. But not on evil's terms, not on evil's timetable, but on God's timetable and on God's terms. His time was not yet right. The innocent victims here in our text bear witness that this child, this Jesus, is different. He is the one foretold from the prophets. He is the one who has come to save us from our sin, to save us from our evil, to deliver us from this evil world. Jesus Christ came into this world taking the sin of the world. Yes, all sin, all people, all time, yours, mine, and everyone, into Himself, all the way to an old rugged cross. That's why Jesus came. Jesus defeated evil on Calvary's cross once and for all. God rose Jesus from the dead to demonstrate that the greatest evil, death itself, has been conquered by the God-man, Jesus Christ. Yes, sin and evil lives inside of us, but don't you know that all of you who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? And if you've been baptized into His death, you've been baptized into His resurrection. God calls us to repent each and every day of our evil thoughts, our evil lusts, our evil actions, to die and to drown and to come forth a new person, a new creation, ready, willing, and able to love God and to serve one another. Life is not easy in an evil world. You open up the newspapers and you think that you know, there are at least some things that you can believe and some things that you can trust. And some feel-good stories are just really feel-good stories. And then you see that Lance Armstrong was a liar and a cheat and a power-crazy fool. And even Jared from Subway has let us down in the greatest way imaginable. My friends, evil is real. Evil is close. But thanks be to God, Jesus Christ is God's gift to you. Jesus Christ is victorious over sin, death, and the grave. Evil, all evil, even the evil that lives and dwells inside of us. Our God isn't some faraway God that checks in with us once in a while. He is really here and really present to guide us and to give us strength as we live in this evil world, forgiving our sins, giving us strength for the journey, encouraging us as others love, as we love, as Christ has loved us. You know, there's a reason why "I walk in danger all the way" isn't that well known of a hymn. We don't like to think about that, do we? We don't like to be reminded of the cold, hard reality that we live in. But my friends, as we walk in danger all the way, Christ, His holy angels, and life itself goes with us. Thanks be to God. Jesus Christ has overcome, yes, even evil for you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our lives in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. God's Word is true. And God's Word gives us the strength that we need to face a new year and each and every day. We confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed, page 158. Please stand. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us stand, and for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day He rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. God believe the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life.
In addition to the prayers as printed in your news and notes, we also remember Helen Snook, who is hospitalized, Doretta Kleinkopf recovering from a stay in the hospital at home, and also for Janet Schmeling, who is near death. Let us pray. We pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, You brought Your children out of Egypt and into the promised land. We give You thanks for bringing us out of the Egypt of hell and into the promised land of Your church through the Red Sea of the baptismal font. Fill us with Your Holy Spirit that we may always rejoice in our adoption into Your divine family. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, You create and sustain faith through Your holy word and sacraments. Bestow Your blessing upon Pastor Harrison, our synodical president, Pastor Snow, our district president, Pastor Murundi and Pastor Poppy, our pastors, and all pastors in Christ, that the Holy Gospel be preached among us in its purity, and the holy sacraments be administered among us according to Christ's institution. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Lord, grant wisdom to all who are in authority over us at the federal, state, and local levels. Supply them with your blessing, that they may be inclined to your will and walk according to your commandments, and that we may live in peace and security. We pray especially for your divine protection of the weakest among us, including children in the womb and those advanced in years, that wayward hearts would be turned, and that life at every stage would be cherished among us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, behold with tender mercy those who are sick, hospitalized, undergoing treatment, preparing for surgery, or suffering in any way, especially Myrna, Josh, Kim, Fritz and Faye, Bob and Mona, Carmen, Sam, Marlene, Steve, Morgan, Diane, Chip, Frank, Janice, Disney, Nadine, Max, Lori, Nevaeh, Rosa, Ed, Nick, Scott, Vicky, Jared, Zoe, Willis, the Josh Trumbly family, Jocelyn, Helen, Doretta. We ask for a special measure of your grace for Janet as you prepare her for her time when she will come and be with you forevermore in your glory. Be with all these, your saints, that they would know the consolation of your love in Christ Jesus and be strengthened to endure in all affliction. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, grant your Holy Spirit to those who come to this holy altar this day, that they may receive the holy supper of Christ's very body and blood in repentance and faith, and to their abundant blessing. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated. Welcome, welcome in the name of Jesus. Yes, we live in an evil world, but God gives us hope, peace, confidence in Christ Jesus. Thanks be to God. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address. We can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. This time also, we worship God with our gifts and offerings. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping with us on the radio or on the internet.
service of the sacrament. For the offertory, page 159. Page 159. Good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you have given us a new revelation of your glory, that, seeing you in the person of your Son, we may know and love those things which are not seen. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of His body and His blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
and with great joy, Christ has delivered you from evil, for sin is forgiven. Amen.
Glory to the Lord.
Christ, you are.
Now this true body and precious blood of our crucified, risen, ascended, and returning Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Go with peace.